This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next-door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9 with Macca and Janet Jukes. Our next guest is Simon Ruth. Simon is the CEO of Thorn Harbour Health. Good morning, Simon. How are you on this quite pleasant Saturday?
Morning, Macca. Morning, Janet. I'm doing okay.
That's good.
Listening to Joy, as always.
Oh, so, well.
Enjoying the conversation.
Thank you. Now, there's a huge piece of work being done on the cost of LGBTQI plus mental health. First off, Simon, who did the survey?
It's not actually a survey, so it is an analysis of available data.
Okay.
So it's called the cost of adverse mental health outcomes for LGBTIQ plus Victorian adult populations, and it was done by Deloitte. About a year's work has gone into this, and we think it's the first ever piece of work of this kind done anywhere in the world. Deloitte were looking all around the world to try and find similar pieces of work to see how to do it and to learn from that. And it doesn't look at all mental health issues. It looks at LGBTIQ plus mental health in 2019, and there's a number of reasons that year was chosen, and it only looks at high prevalence disorders. So high prevalence disorders are anxiety and depression that you might get treated, say, by a GP at that level, not bad enough yet to end up in a hospital or in a psych unit, and suicidality, and then the bereavement associated with people who've suicided. So in psychiatry, they call those high prevalence disorders. So we're not talking about psychosis.
Right.
We're not talking about major depression that would see you spending large amounts of time in hospital.
And Simon, the report that Deloitte did, it's a health economics report, isn't it? So it's really about trying to get a number, a cold, hard number for people like Treasury and politicians to convince them that it would be better for them to address stigma and discrimination rather than continue to allow that to happen and the cost on society.
Yeah, so we've known for quite a long time that our mental health, the mental health of LGBTIQ plus people is generally worse than the mainstream community or non-queer and intersex people. We've had Private Lives 3, we've had Private Lives 2 and 1, we've had Writing Themselves in 4. There's been a number of studies. For some reason, none of those seem to get traction. So this was an attempt to put a dollar figure on it and to try and put an economic argument for why you need to invest in services that target LGBTI people to improve mental health, to try and find, to convince people in Treasury and people who think dollars matter that there is a reason to do this, because our appealing to people's common sense and their compassion has not been working as well as we would hope. And we have had the Mental Health Royal Commission in Victoria. Unfortunately, they, despite a lot of work that was put in by ourselves and Switchboard and Transgender Victoria and Arches, they in the end they said they were focused on processes and not populations. And so this is our attempt to get a back of focus on us as a population, because we think we have very specific and unique needs that need targeted responses.
What is the cost, the financial cost, Simon? It's going to be a big number. What is it?
Yeah, it is a big cost. So the first thing that had to happen was they had to figure out how many of us there are. And again, Victoria is uniquely placed because we have the Population Health Survey, which no other state in the country does. And every 3 years, there is enough queers to try and make some estimate. So they came up with an upper bound and a lower bound. So the lower bound was based solely on that study and the number of people in that study who publicly identified that they were LGBTIQ, and then the upper bound was based on the number of other pieces of research around the world that said that there's probably more people. So at the lower end, it was 7.2% of the population or LGBTIQ plus, and at the upper end, it was 10%. They have since redone that study, and we expect both those figures to probably increase. So we actually think there's probably more than 10% of us. But the economic and financial costs, so the economic financial costs are things like the expense to the health system of getting treatment, funeral costs, coronial inquiries, police if they have to come out. And economic costs are things like permanent incapacitation, reduced employment, absenteeism from work. And the economic and financial costs came in that year for these five disorders, so not the whole of mental health, to $2.2 billion to $3 billion,
wow,
depending on whether you looked at the smaller population or the larger population. So we're talking very, very large numbers. Then they also have what they call intangible costs, and intangible costs are the loss of well-being to us as a community, the loss of well-being to the individual, to their families, the loss of potential in their lives, and this, there's an economic value to that that health economists look at, and that figure was much higher. It was $16.8 billion to $23.4 billion. They did break down by the individual conditions, and they can talk about those. But, you know, we're looking at a total cost, if you accept intangible and economic and financial costs, of up around, at the upper end, $26.5 billion.
It's a lot of dough.
It's huge, isn't it? And you know, I noticed in the report that it says that LGBTIQ people bear the greatest burden, the greatest percentage of the burden on that. And that makes sense, doesn't it? Because we're the ones, you know, the people, when we're affected by suicide or if we experience anxiety or depression, then that impacts on our life and the opportunities that we might be able to make for ourselves in life.
There was some really interesting discussions and things that we couldn't capture, such as when an LGBTI person suicides, it has an effect on people who've never met them before, because we identify with it, particularly in the trans community, whereas for the mainstream population, it would probably tend to be focused on the family unless they're a celebrity. But in our community, you know, that sort of event actually has a bigger impact. But that didn't, because that could not be calculated, it wasn't calculated into these figures.
Can I just ask, Simon, let's use a figure of 10%, just for the sake of discussion. I wonder, when you look at the upper level of these of this cost, and how much then, by government, is actually put back into mental health for our community, I bet it's probably the wrong side of a decimal point. Do you have any...
I think it's probably... probably the wrong side of a few decimal
okay.
points. I mean, even if we take the lower figure, the economic costs, we're talking, what, 10% you're saying $220 million.
Yeah.
The mental health system in Victoria for our communities, we're currently funded right now. I think there's the Hay grants, which, you know, are not insignificant, but it's small in the scheme of things. I think we're talking under $1 million. And then there's the family counselling programs, which there's five workers around the state. So we're probably talking under $2 million a year.
So?
It's specifically targeted towards us. You know, the government is putting a lot of money into the Mental Health Royal Commissions and developing a whole new suite of services. But at the moment, those services aren't targeting us. There's also Rainbow Door, which I should mention, the government does fund that as well.
And of course, this government is investing more in our community than any other government around the country and any government has ever before. But it just sort of shows the scale of the work before us, isn't it? So it's not a criticism at all on what Victorian government's been able to achieve, because it's really significant. And I'm sitting here in this beautiful building and with a well supported LGBTIQ community led and governed organisation, but definitely there's a long way to go, isn't there? So, Simon, what do we need to do? You know, what would you say to, if the Minister for Health, Martin Foley, or perhaps the Minister for Mental Health was listening, what would you say we need to see happen?
So we have met directly. We pre-briefed the Parliamentary Secretary for Mental Health, Steve Demopoulos. He had a pre-briefing and we did talk to him about the sorts of things that we thought needed to occur. But we need more targeted services and specific services. We need services run by our community organisations, so community-controlled organisations that our community elected boards of and run and hold accountable. Unfortunately, there's not many of us. LGBTI Help Australia is the peak body for queer community-controlled organisations, and it has three Victorian members, which are ourselves, Switchboard and Transgender Victoria. We're all very metro-based, apart from our Bendigo office. But we certainly need to be funding mental health through our services. We need mainstream services, which cover the entire state, and the government is putting close to $4 billion into redeveloping those. We need to make them better at what they do. Part of being better at what they do is consulting with us, though, and because there's so few of us, it's difficult for them to do that sort of service improvement. And particularly things like bed-based services, you know, are very complicated, particularly for our gender-diverse community members, about how they go in bed-based services that are often gendered. They're male beds or female beds in psych units and whatnot. So there's a whole piece of work that needs to be done there, and it's often the patients who are threatening, not the service itself. So lots of work to be done there. And we also need to stop expecting our communities to attend services that are unpalatable to us. So in Victoria, and right across Australia and in the Western world, we have a lot of social services run by faith-based organisations. And certainly, you know, groups like the Catholics and the Anglicans and the Salvation Army, were all the churches that were arguing against our right to be married, are all the groups arguing for religious freedoms, legislation. You know, Jacinta Collins, who voted for marriage equality when she was a Labor senator, is now heading up Catholic Education, arguing for religious freedoms to not be able to employ us. You know, there's a lot of queer people who would not walk through the door of those social services for a whole range of reasons, because of our upbringing and our family rejection and the way we were treated when we were in those churches. I think it's interesting that in the census, about a quarter of the country has no religion or is atheist. In Private Lives 3, it was 76% of queers reported no religion or atheism. And there's a reason for that. We have been rejected by these churches and we're rejecting them back. And so to keep funding certain types of organisations to provide service to us is really complicated. And I think it shows that you haven't really understood what's going on in a lot of our communities. So again, we need services that we trust. We need to be funding the right services, but we also need our partners in the publicly funded health system to be doing a better job.
I think, you know, we've had Steve Demopoulos on the show before. Certainly, you know, we'll raise that with him again. And also, you know, Jacinta Collins is not a friend of our community, never has been. And to go to services that are, you know, run by an organisation in which she's a leader, well, you know, we need better services, we need better resource services and ones that actually reflect the needs of our community. But that's not to exclude other communities. They're entitled to exactly the same thing. But I do feel Victorian government is doing a lot, and I commend them for that. The new federal government, I think there's an opportunity there. It's the enormity of the problem, Simon, you know, the numbers that you quote, but that will get the attention of Treasury more than anything. They love big numbers.
And, of course, it's not LGBTIQ people who are born mentally unwell suicidal. It's the impact of discrimination and marginalisation on us as we grow up and as we and navigate our way through life. So, you know, I think continuing to support initiatives that really combat that is really important too. And I know Thorn Harbour Health do quite a lot of work in that space as well, Simon, around supporting community development.
Yeah, we do. We actually do a lot of training with mainstream services about doing a better job. But you're right, this piece of research could only occur in Victoria, and it's because of the commitment of this government to counting our community and looking at mental health as a key issue. We just need now to start steering the ship in the right direction. And you know, Mama Alto and I both do sit on the Ministerial Advisory Committee for Mental Health, so hopefully we will get some chances to do this.
Look, it's a great piece of work by Deloitte. Those numbers are frightening. And I hope the fact that they're so frightening, they get the attention of health bureaucrats. I know a lot of them are aware of it and are trying to work out how they can do it. But at the end of the day, it is about money and it is about resources. And this is not to exclude other communities. This is to ensure that we actually get our fair share. You know, we get more than our share of, you know, mental health challenges. It's time we got a bit more of the share to help us address them.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, called communities and ethnically diverse communities can probably do very similar pieces of research. Yeah. They just haven't had the opportunity.
And, of course, yet. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander or First Nation communities. Yeah, that, the intersections, of course, are even more frightening, which is can't be addressed in this sort of report, but we all know about. So a fantastic piece of work. And I just, you know, put on my President of Thorn Harbour Health hat and thank Deloitte, who did this work for us for pro bono. It's an enormous piece of work.
Oh, yeah.
And there were a whole lot of people who were involved in it, including Associate Professor Adam Bourne from La Trobe University, Archers, the Australian Centre for Sex, Health and Society, who it just wouldn't have happened without him. And, of course, Simon, the team at Thorn Harbour Health.
Yes.
Thank you very much for coming on the show.
You.
So thank you.
That's
thanks,
right.
Simon. And
always
let's,
happy to chat.
And let's talk about how we might be able to advance some advocacy around this off air.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.